This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Okay, everyone who's not in the conference, could you please keep your voice down? These people have come a long way to have me say nothing. But act as though I'm saying something very important.
How crazy as an actress was this for you to just get your emotion? You shot linearly, I understand, rather than skipping to different days. Was it hard to keep your head in the
Okay, that's funny that you said that, because that so isn't true. You know, you always shoot out of order in a film anyway, and then your days are out of order, and then I had a really hard time. And I actually take great pleasure in saying, I thought I was going to lose it. And I went to the director and said, I'm having a hard time. I don't know what to do. And the smile on his face, when he heard, he goes, no, this is exactly where you need to be. This is where. And I was like, no, it's not. But I loved working with this director and understood completely the method to his madness, that in my unraveling, in this little bubble that we had for 3 months, I felt like, okay, I'm going to be fine. You know, it's just a hard thing to put yourself in a state of grief like that for 3 months and not think that you're going to cough up some of your own stuff. And just, it's not healthy. But it was exciting to think, I hope at the end he got what he needed. And we played the levels right. It was getting the levels right, which was, you know, is she just pure grief here? When does the grief go into denial and anger, and then when does she get angry at the affair, or the, you know, you have to start infusing. It's just, it wasn't pretty, and it'd be nice if it all had been linear. It would have made more sense, but I don't think there's a way to shoot this film in a linear fashion.
Working with him, how helpful was it that you did speak German? Did you get things that he's saying, those are words that just aren't explained in English?
Not that. I mean, it was fun, but I think, because I understood his nature, I got his work ethic. Once I realized the way we were going to work, and it dawned on me one day in the middle of a shot, and I went, this is what I need to be prepared for. And once I knew what to be prepared for, which was at any moment he's going to flip it and put it on its ear and do something else, which added in making me feel like I was going to go crazy, not only as a perfectionist, but emotionally I was getting so angry. Once I knew what that language was and understood it, I felt very comfortable. I understood his work ethic. I got it. I got that drive and the visuals between he and Tosten, who is his DP, who they work like a, their teamwork as I don't even know if it's a word, visualists, the painters that they became in tandem was pretty spectacular. If you watched and sat on set, we never really left set. He said, I'd like for you to be on set all the time, and we've tried to make that happen as much as possible.
You've done a few movies with themes of time travel and magic.
I've only done two movies about... I've only done one movie about time travel. I've done one movie about days being out of order. I've done one movie about magic.
And I was wondering...
You know what it is? I hate generalizations. I hate beginning... And I hate it when it gets lumped together, because to me they're very specific and different, you know, and... And I want the people who made those films not to be lumped together and their uniqueness to be taken away.
Okay.
Okay.
But I could ask independently of the movies you've done that, do you believe in any kind of supernatural occurrences or things of that nature?
I don't think we're the only planet that has life. I do think that there's something to human nature that is, if you want to call it, intuitiveness, gut instinct, people who know things that have happened. I mean, it's happened to a lot of people. But I always put it back into this, you know, they call it, you know, how you just put it is it's almost like it becomes a scientific thing. No one has proof that I know of that a higher power exists. Yet a major portion of the world believes in it and relies on it in faith and trusts in what that is. Where's the science to that? But yet you have incredible belief in that. So when someone says to me, I've had a bad feeling that something is going to happen, and then it did, I don't know how to explain it. Can't be explained by science, but I believe in that happening. You know, I think there's something bigger than we understand, but I don't think it's supported and nurtured in people. I think people think you're crazy, and unless it can be proven by science, it's not valid. But I do believe that there's twins have it. Twins know what's happened to each other. Yeah.
Have you ever had
What's that?
Maybe following up on that, when we talked to the late cast, I remember you said that you were concerned also about an explanation for the mailbox, and went over different possibilities.
Yeah.
How about this script? Did you go through the same process and say, okay, how can we explain this?
No. No, because so much of what's woven in this story is in the visual and was a director's job. My job was to have the right emotion, and what would she do in this situation? It was all about me, and I don't mean that, but it was all about what is Linda going through at this point? What would she do with her kids? What wouldn't she say? Why doesn't she say anything to him? Because he's going to think she's crazier. They're already distant when the film starts. There's already trouble there. If I bring up that I'm having these visions, is he going to leave me? Is this something that there's been a lot going on before the film started? So we did a lot of that kind of talking, you know. Why would she choose not to, or why would she? And we said a lot of this has happened in the years preceding this very moment. And that was nice in working with Julian and Menon, is that we came up with our own story of what put us at this place. So you feel it when you see it, but you don't know it until the pieces get together and you go, oh my God, and again, at the end, to have that feeling of what would I have done? Would I have gone back and changed, or would I have let him die? What would you have done? You know, do you hold on to the resentment? Do you try and make a new life? Do you try and make a life better than how your life's ended up? Or is there something worth salvaging? You know, but so I concentrate on her, not the other stuff. I didn't have the wherewithal to deal with that, but I knew Menon and Tostin knew exactly what they were doing visually in their storytelling. And
what about the challenge of doing a movie in which everything that happens is filtered?
I got excited because I said, as an audience member, I want to be the eyes for the people watching the film. If I was in the audience watching this, I would want to feel as frustrated. I want to feel like I'm going crazy. I understand why she's acting the way that she is. Why isn't anyone listening? What would I do? I thought it was a really interesting take on it, putting her complex situation into the driver's seat for the audience. I love that take. And that, again, goes to the writer. Who imagined this story from beginning to end, you know, go into his head, you know, what made him write this? But I thought it was a really great point of view to take.
But it wasn't an easy ride for you.
No, I was miserable. I had such a hard time. I had a hard time with it. But I think anyone who's, you know, I think anyone who would have done that, and you stay at that level for 3 months, you're bound to, you know, not... You're bound to bring it home in a way that you go, I don't know how to get out of this. And on top of it, wanting to be a good actor, wanting to give the director what he needs. This doesn't make sense. I don't know if I did this right. What level do you need? And, you know, I'm sure I drummed up some of my own stress and drama. But, you know, in the end, I'm glad it was with Menon at the helm of it, because there wasn't one moment that I felt that I was going to fall off a cliff. I felt like this man was in control of this ship, and I felt really good about that.
Had you ever been through that on film before?
On different levels, yeah. I mean, I will make myself sick on films just because you want everything to be right. I can't sleep if something hasn't been done or out of place. If I'm producing it as well, it gets even worse. And that's why I know myself well enough to take time in between before I produce and am in something again, it's got to be a long time. You know, it just takes a lot out of me. But I why do it unless you're going to do it like that? And so I've had different hard times, but never anything like this, because this was, you put yourself in a state of your love has died, and your life is out of order, and you don't know what's happened. In that kind of grieving, I think anyone would just sort of want to go to therapy afterwards. But that basically was therapy.
How does being a wife help you now connect with, you know, characters who are married and the relationship is driving a film like this one?
Well, I played a lot of wives and moms before this. You know, every relationship is different. There are good marriages, bad marriages, connected partners, unconnected partners. Being married doesn't change, hasn't changed how I would have approached it. But thinking for 3 months now, being married, what if my husband was killed? It put me in a bad place. Put me in a really bad place. You know, sometimes, you know, all couples will tell you, I want to kill you. I want to kill you. But I'd never want that to actually happen, you know, because in 5 minutes, I'm going to love you a lot. But it put me in the place. But not because I was married, but because that was the subject matter of the film. And how I was trained was I can't pretend like something. If I don't feel it, I can't act it. Same in comedy. My character, Sandy's got to feel it. It's not the way Sandy would do it. It's not Sandy's situation. But I got to find my as if to get me to that place. And that's all I know. I can't lie on the floor and fry like bacon, you know, Stanislavski style. You know, I'll never be cast as a bacon piece. You know, so I'm not going to, I can't imagine what that would be. Because I know. I see you more as an egg girl. I don't. But that's just how I was trained and what I know. And that's what I relied on, you know.
What messages did you think
that
brings across?
I think there's a lot of great. I mean, I think Menon, I wish he was here. I mean, he said it's like the American dream becomes the American nightmare. I personally came out of it. My favorite line is the priest's line. You know, it's never too late to fight for what you want. And that is what you want in your happiness is not going to be what the American dream is. The American dream, I'm sure, wants you to follow that path because it's easy to control. But I'm, you know, I'm a firm believer that we all, you know, we all deserve happiness and in our way. It's not going to be like your neighbor's way. And have you done everything in this lifetime to make this lifetime your own? And complacency, what a miserable place to be. You know, she was a prisoner of that house and that routine, and that run every day was the same as her laundry. Everything was exactly the same. The love lost, the touching him, he turns away. You can't speak anymore. You don't know how to get back to each other. How that happens to so many people. What happened to the fun or the laughter or the connection? Why do we get to that place? Why is work or business or success or having that house or that lifestyle so important that we will allow it to make us dead? You know, that's what I took. A lot of people have come out having taken so many other things, but you don't want to die going, I wish I'd lived the life I wanted to live, or said what I wanted to say, or said, you know what, I'm pissed off at you, fuck you, how dare you do this? Start a dialogue and get it off your chest. You know, to connect, to feel something, to go through life unfeeling is, that's not a life.
It was important that you got the right guy for the husband on this. So what did Julian bring that made you think he's the guy?
Acting chops. Acting chops, acting chops, acting chops. And an understanding of what it is to be a father. An understanding of what it is like to be a man and be in the position where you have to be the provider. You have to do X, Y, and Z in order to be a man, which is completely false, but it's that preconceived notion. The fact that the day has become mundane, that tweed jacket at the car shop, at the place where it's just the same thing every day. He was the king. We said they could have been prom queen and king. They were the sparkle in everyone's eye. And here they are. What they are, which is nothing. You know, he understood that. And he was so thorough in how he approached everything. Every possible, we would sit there and I go, and in the love scene that we did isn't the love scene that was written. You know, and it was, we got to that night and we went, something's not right. And that happens a lot on film where you've shot so much and you get to this place, you go, so much has changed. And so in the way that all three of us just locked ourselves in the room and talked about it and what is it that we want to say in a visual way and emotionally, and the way he approaches his work is so thorough, and he's a workhorse. He takes his craft very seriously, and I felt very comfortable with him. I knew he was in it for the same reasons I was, and there was going to be nothing for those 3 months that, you know, was going to get in the way of that. So I admire him a great deal for the man he is and for the actor that he is and his dedication. So, and he's really tall, and he made me look tiny. I love that.
Have you ever had a premonition? Maybe as large as this.
I have pretty good gut instinct. Mm-hmm. I have pretty good. My mother had extraordinary intuition. Extraordinary. I think everyone has it. I don't think we're raised to embrace it. I really don't. I've had things tell me not to do something, and then I've done it and paid for it, and I've listened. And, you know, I've had dreams going, what does that mean? And then the dream, what the essence of it was, happened. And I think that happens to everyone. Is that intuition? Is that premonition? Is that coincidence? I don't know. But I do know that there's been times that I've asked for something, and then I've seen it. And I look up and I go, that's awesome. You know, it's beyond my control, so I appreciate any help I can get, whether it's the voices in my head or whether it's a neighbor. You know, I appreciate it.
What about something else that's out of our control? Fate. Because I think one thing that you may get out of this film is that if something is fated to happen, maybe nothing you can do will
change
it.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of that?
I don't know about the word. I think the word is just a hard word to say. Do you believe in fate? And then you can argue it and discount it. But I said earlier, I can look at my life and look at all the things that have happened and go, I now see why A, B, and C happened. And I understand why I had to go through that, because here I sit. But I do believe that, you know, rebirth and when things have finished their time, I mean, for me to get through life and go, what's the purpose? I go, when someone passes away, I hope there's a really good reason for it, because it's there to give birth to something else. Because if this event hadn't happened and gone away, this couldn't have begun. And that's what I love about this film, is that it was bittersweet, in that if one thing didn't happen, the next thing that was supposed to begin in this world couldn't have arrived. And you call it fate, you call it whatever it is. You know, but I do think we have a good amount of control in what our life can be, and what we can make of our happy. It's up to us to make our life happy and joyful and what it's supposed to be for us. You know, so I think there's a level of control in fate, you know, or making that journey to that fated end, whatever you want it to be. I don't know. You know, I can only come from my point of view, and that was it for today, which will probably change tomorrow based on what I learned today. So.
Last question.
Are you learning to tango? Is that something that is coming up, the novel?
I've been tangoing, yeah. But I knew how to salsa merengue, and I knew how to do all that, which cockily I went into it going, I can do this. Totally different premise. It's been a beautiful thing that I've taken on that's been a good for life, whether that project turns out to be what I want or not. It's been a good life lesson for me, the learnings and the teachings of true Argentinian tango.
What is different from...
Oh, this is not this film. Go take a tango class, and you'll want to go home and kill yourself, because you are so inept if you've never taken it. It is just frustrating, but beautiful when it all comes together, you know, and the appreciation for it. I have tremendous appreciation for it.